Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael, and I'm reading this week's San Angelo Standard Times newspaper, published for the week of Sunday, March 6th, 2022. I'll begin with the most recent articles. San Angelo Lakeview High School evacuated due to bomb threat, from staff reports published March 10th. Lakeview High School was evacuated Thursday morning after San Angelo ISD officials were made aware of a bomb threat, according to a news release from SAISD. District leaders and campus administrators immediately began an investigation in conjunction with the San Angelo Police Department, the release stated. The investigation is currently ongoing. Students and staff are safe. We ask that parents and guardians please refrain from going to Lakeview High School campus as students have been rerouted to Lincoln Middle School. Due to the investigation and out of an abundance of caution, students were dismissed for the day at 9:45 a.m. Thursday. Students who ride the bus home or do not have their own transportation have been transported to the Lincoln Middle School gym and cafeteria, 255 Lakeview Heroes Drive. Students who typically ride the bus home will be picked up from Lincoln by SAISD buses. Students can be picked up from Lincoln Middle School pickup drop-off location in front of the cafeteria and gym. Students who drive to school will be dismissed to their vehicles and asked to exit the premises. Lakeview students at West Texas Training Center will be transported to Lincoln Middle School. We take all matters of this nature seriously and will follow procedures outlined in our student code of conduct, the release stated. The safety of our students is our first priority. We encourage everyone to report threats of any kind to a district or school official, local law enforcement, or report the concern on our district Stay Alert link on the SAISD website. Where are the lowest gas prices in San Angelo? Here's a list. By Elena Edgen, published March 9th. As prices rise, use this tracker from GasBuddy to see where the cheapest gas prices are around San Angelo, Texas. Where are the lowest gas prices in San Angelo? Sam's Club, 5749 Sherwood Way, $3.94. Shell, 705 North Main Street, $3.99. Alon, 514 North Main Street, $3.99. Walmart, 3428 South Bryant Boulevard, $3.99. Shell, 107 South Abe Street, $3.99. Jack's Convenience Store, 2 North Cunningham Street, $3.99. Stripes, 935 Knickerbocker Road, $3.99. Stripes, 3002 Knickerbocker Road, $3.99. Shell, 2451 Sherwood Way, $3.99. Murphy USA, 618 West 29th Street, $3.99. Chance of wintry mix possible in San Angelo this weekend. By Rosanna Frere, published March 9th. A cold front is headed for the Concho Valley this weekend, bringing a light wintry mix of precipitation, according to the National Weather Service. Temperatures are expected to drop into the 30s, with wind chills falling as low as 10 degrees. Very little to no accumulation of snow or sleet is expected, except perhaps in Haskell and Throckmorton, where up to a tenth of an inch of accumulation is possible, stated National Weather Service. Otherwise, it'll be much colder Friday. Mark Cunningham, NWS meteorologist, said the precipitation amount of Friday will be very light and short. We don't think it will bring too many problems, he said. Maybe a few slick spots on overpasses, but no significant impacts. The cold front will start on Friday morning and will drop to a low of 21 on Saturday morning. All precipitation will end Friday afternoon, according to Cunningham. Temperatures will begin to rise on Sunday and are expected to be in the 70s by Monday and in the 80s by Wednesday. Sales just aren't there. Mama Chang's announces closing due to lack of business, by Rosanna Frere, published March 9th. San Angelo's Mama Chang's will be closing at the end of the week due to a lack of business, according to social media. The restaurant at 502 North Van Buren Street opened in early July 2021, but after 8 months in operation, it will close on Saturday, March 12th. I have been dreading typing up this post, but here we are, the Facebook post said. As much as we want to continue with this restaurant we so believe in, the sales just aren't there to make financial sense in order to carry on. The final day was announced Wednesday, March 9th, on the business's Facebook page. Through the post, the restaurant thanked their supporters and hoped to see them again before the final day. In just the short time that we were open, we were able to develop some great relationships. Thanks each of you who gave us an opportunity. We hope to see you again before Saturday. Caregiver charged with stealing jewelry from San Angelo couple, including wedding ring, by Elena Edgen, published March 8th. Months after a man hired a caregiver for his wife and later reported a theft, a San Angelo woman has been indicted by a Tom Green County grand jury, according to court documents released Tuesday, March 8th. On October 28, 2021, police arrived to a reported theft on Claire Drive. A man told officers he had hired a woman as a caretaker for his wife. Soon after, an employee from a gold-buying store called him, records state. Between October 11th and October 27th, the store had been sold a diamond ring with his wife's name graved inside, a gold necklace with a diamond, and a 1988 gold-class ring. These items belonged to the wife, but had been taken by the caregiver, according to court documents. While the class ring and necklace were reclaimed by the man, the wedding ring had already been sent off and was not able to be recovered, according to the arrest affidavit. Two of the man's knives, one of which had the man's name engraved, had also gone missing. At least one knife, sold to a pawn shop on October 20th, was seized and returned, record states. The rings and one knife were valued at $4,000, according to the affidavit. A receipt from the pawn shop had the caregiver's name on it, documents state. Brooke Melanie Smith, 41, also known as Brooke Rosenbrook, was arrested January 14th on suspicion of theft of property between $2,500 and $30,000. She was released from Tom Green County Detention Center on January 19th on a $15,000 bond, according to online jail records. An indictment filed in February charged her with theft of property between $2,500 and $30,000. This is a state jail felony punishable by up to 2 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. A court date has been tentatively set for May, according to online court records. Off-duty San Angelo police officer nearly hit by car, leading to DWI arrest, by Elena Edgen, published March 7th. After an off-duty San Angelo police officer stated he was nearly hit by a car, then followed the car late Friday, a woman has been arrested for allegedly driving while intoxicated with a child, according to court documents. About 7:45 p.m. Friday, March 4th, an off-duty officer reported he was almost hit by a possibly intoxicated driver in the 4500 block of Knickerbocker Road. The officer followed the suspected vehicle, which had left a restaurant parking lot without headlights on, records state. Moments later, the officer turned on their emergency lights and pulled over the vehicle near Loop 306 and Knickerbocker Road. The officer noticed the vehicle had three passengers, one who was younger than 15 years old, according to an arrest report. Another passenger, a man who had not been drinking, drove the car off of the highway and into a parking lot where the investigation continued, records state. The initial driver had bloodshot, watery eyes and slow, mumbled speech. She told the officer she had a few drinks but didn't think there was a problem, according to the arrest report. She consented to take the standard field sobriety tests, where she was swaying, staggering, and unsteady, according to court documents. Her breath samples indicated a blood alcohol concentration of 0.158 and 0.157, which is over the legally impaired amount of 0.08, records state. Heather Joy Martinez, 43, was arrested Friday on suspicion of driving while intoxicated with a child younger than 15 years old. She was released the following day on a $15,000 bond, according to online jail records. This arrest came 2 days before the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office announced it will participate in the Impaired Driver Mobility Campaign with other law enforcement agencies. Participating agencies started on Friday by increasing patrols ahead of spring break to detect and deter impaired motorists in Tom Green County, according to a Monday news release. In-depth story, Everything You Should Know About the Plan to Outlaw Abortion in San Angelo, by John Tufts, published March 6th. In the world Mark Lee Dixon is fighting for, unborn humans are protected at all stages of pregnancy. Abortions are an act of violence, and those who support them, from driving a pregnant woman to an abortion clinic to texting her where that clinic can be found, are outlaws, subject to fines or imprisonment. Dixon, director of Right to Life of East Texas, makes no distinction between the 24-year-old woman who chooses to be sexually active and the 14-year-old girl who is sexually assaulted by a relative. If the act leads to conception, the mother will have no recourse but to bear that child unless her own life is in danger. Just because someone has done a horrible act against a teenager, that does not make it okay for that unborn child to be killed, Dixon said during an interview with the Standard Times. Two wrongs don't make a right, and the baby in that womb is just as much a human being as she is, he said. Dixon applauds current Texas laws allowing private citizens to sue their neighbors if they provide information, transportation, or money to procure an abortion. He has submitted documents to officials stating the city of San Angelo should urge its citizens to regard those who aid abortions as criminals and report such criminal behavior to the district attorney of Tom Green County. As of February 28, 2022, up to 44 other Texas cities have embraced creating sanctuary cities for the unborn, and Dixon, the prognitator of that movement, wants San Angelo to be among their number. He and his supporters might very well get their wish. After months of dogged legwork, sanctuary city advocates were able to garner more than 1,500 signatures required to bring an ordinance outlawing abortion before their elected representatives. On Tuesday, March 1st, a public hearing was scheduled at the McNeese Convention Center, 501 Rio Concho Drive, in which the city could adopt, reject, or pass the ordinance with amendments. This wasn't the first, second, or third time anti-abortion advocates flocked to the city council en masse. We came to you with thousands of individuals from across the county, not just the city, who were wanting this ordinance, said Ryan Buck, senior pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church, 90 East 14th Street. We came to you and asked you to pass it, but you said no. In October 2021, City Council, by a vote of 5-2, rejected discussing the ordinance and issued a proclamation instead supporting the right to life. San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter has said on numerous occasions that if residents want to pass a sanctuary city ordinance, they would have to place it on the ballot themselves. I strongly support taking this issue to the citizens because I believe City Council does not have the right to take their voice or their vote away from them, Gunter said during an October interview with the Standard Times. Her opinion hasn't changed 4 months later. City Council rejected the ordinance Tuesday by a vote of 6-1 after hours of intense emotional testimony that has sharply divided residents. There were 19 people who spoke in favor of making San Angelo a sanctuary for the unborn during Tuesday's public hearing. Two people voiced their opposition. For many residents, the ordinance was more about sending a message and less about the specific details that ordinance contained. San Angelo resident asks to value unborn lives as much as it does trees and dogs. The first person to approach the podium during public comments was Father Lorenzo Hatch with the San Angelo Catholic Diocese at Sacred Heart Cathedral. The right to life is guaranteed in our Constitution. What kind of society would we be if the most vulnerable aren't protected? Hatch said, encouraging City Council to pass the ordinance. Larry Miller, council member for Single Member District 6, asked Hatch if he had read the ordinance, to which Hatch responded, "Not the entirety of it, just the summary." "Do you see any problems with it?" Miller asked. "Not in what I've read in the summary," Hatch said before leaving the podium. Miller would go on to ask others the same question. Did they read the 18-page document officials published nearly 2 weeks in advance of the meeting? Several residents confessed they hadn't. Susie Smith, who spoke in favor of making San Angelo a sanctuary for the unborn, was one of them. Smith said she didn't read the ordinance, but trusted the people who wrote it, comparing that level of trust to the faith members of the community placed in their locally elected representatives. She sharply criticized city counseling for its handling of the abortion issue, asking they defend unborn children with the same vigor Smith said she had witnessed in previous council meetings, protecting the lives of both pets and trees in downtown San Angelo. "I'm sick to my stomach when I think about how this has been addressed," Smith said. "City council will take a stand in not killing trees, and pride in that we don't kill dogs. Please, let's value the life of babies in the womb at least as much as trees and dogs." San Angelo resident likens ordinance to vigilante justice. San Angelo resident Amanda Mason likened private enforcement of the ordinance to vigilante justice. When it was her turn at the podium, the 43-year-old nursing student criticized the measure as invasive, discussing her volunteer work at the local rape crisis center. "I've been with women in their worst moments," Mason said. "One of the things that we talk about in school is we always go for the least invasive treatment. I believe San Angelo does a wonderful job of discouraging abortion as it is." Mason praised San Angelo's pregnancy crisis centers and its churches in helping people reach a decision she thought should be between a woman and God. Opponents, like Mason, have argued for months the ordinance denies women the right to choose what happens to their bodies. It became a battle cry last year for people who rallied in cities across America after tighter abortion laws were passed in Texas. In October, "My Body, My Choice" was chanted by a crowd of about 200 San Angelo women, men, and children who marched around the Tom Green County Courthouse for hours in support of women's rights. Local organizers for the rally said they were protesting a law that banned most abortions in the state. The Texas Heartbeat Act, which mirrors the 18-page ordinance sanctuary city advocates want passed. No abortion exceptions for rape or incest. Here's what the sanctuary city ordinance actually says. Both the ordinance and the Texas Heartbeat Act allow private citizens to sue abortion providers and anyone who helps a pregnant woman get an abortion. Private citizens do not need to have a connection to those they are suing, and there are no exceptions for rape or incest. While the Texas law bans abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected, roughly 6 weeks into pregnancy, before many women know they're pregnant, the Sanctuary City Ordinance declares abortion at all times and at all stages of pregnancy to be an act of murder unless the mother's life is in danger. If the ordinance is enacted, the city of San Angelo would declare human life begins at conception. Abortion is an act of violence that terminates an unborn human life. Unborn human beings are entitled to the full and equal protection of the laws that prohibit violence against other human beings. The ordinance would make it unlawful for any person in San Angelo to do the following: knowingly provide transportation to or from an abortion provider, giving instructions over the telephone, the internet, or any other medium of communication regarding self-administered abortion, providing money with the knowledge that it will be used to pay for an abortion or the costs associated with procuring an abortion, providing or arranging for insurance coverage of an abortion, providing abortion doula services, coercing or pressuring a pregnant mother to have an abortion against their will. The ordinance applies to San Angelo residents, but its enforcement attempts to reach beyond city limits, holding non-residents criminally responsible for aborting a San Angelo fetus. This could apply to doctors and nurses outside of Texas who provide abortion services for San Angelo women, friends and relatives living outside the city who pay the travel costs to get that abortion, or rideshare drivers in other cities who take San Angelo residents to an abortion clinic. Employers in San Angelo also would be prohibited from providing coverage of abortion in any health insurance policy or plan, flexible spending account, health savings account, or benefit provided to its employees, except for abortions performed in response to a life-threatening condition for the mother. In declaring San Angelo to be a sanctuary for the unborn, abortion-inducing drugs would be declared contraband and their possession would be considered an unlawful act. Advocates for the measure have been quick to point out the ordinance does not outlaw prescriptions like Plan B. Abortion does not include birth control devices or oral contraceptives, Plan B, morning after pills, or emergency contraception, and states an act is not an abortion if the act is done with the intent to save the life or preserve the health of an unborn child, remove a dead unborn child whose death was caused by accidental miscarriage, or remove an ectopic pregnancy. Ignorance of the law is no defense, according to the ordinance, which also states there is no statute of limitations for private citizens to take legal action against those who violate or intend to violate sections of it. Advocates also stress under no circumstance may the woman upon whom the abortion was performed or the pregnant woman who seeks to abort her unborn child be subject to prosecution or penalty. Supporters say Texas's changing demographics, a factor in rush to outlaw abortion. If there's one complaint anti-abortion advocates seem to have about making San Angelo a sanctuary for the unborn, it's this. The process has been too slow. Advocates say they were asking officials to pass an ordinance as far back as May of last year. When nothing got done, their voices grew louder. From August to November, they were holding rallies and packing the McNeese Convention Center during city council meetings to make the same urgent request. Please consider this matter and put it on the agenda for an up or down vote, Buck said during an October council meeting. Suggestions that San Angelo voters should decide the issue at the ballot box rankled Buck and others. They're trying to circumvent their responsibilities, Buck said last year. We don't have a referendum or a vote with every decision the city council makes. They're trying to get the monkey off their back with this one issue. When officials agreed to hold a public meeting on March 1st, it wasn't soon enough. Anti-abortion advocates wanted the ordinance on the May 2022 ballot, not the ballot in November. Their sense of urgency has never wavered, despite last year's signing and passage of the Texas Heartbeat Act, one of the most restrictive abortion bans in the country, and despite San Angelo having no abortion providers within 200 miles of its city limits. Advocates have justified the urgency to fears Planned Parenthood might return to San Angelo or that abortions would take place regardless of recent state laws. But there's another reason that stems from Texas's changing demographics. Anti-abortion activists worry someday there won't be enough conservative voices in Texas and they want conservative legislation on the books before that can happen. I really and truly believe that our culture is rapidly changing all the time, Buck said during a February interview with the Standard Times. Eventually, abortion is one of the issues that will come up if the legislature changes because the demographics of Texas change. More Californians are coming to Texas, and that worries some conservatives. The 2020 U.S. Census showed Texas experienced an explosive surge in population growth over the past decade, adding almost 4 million people, the largest of any other state, according to census data. Texans of color accounted for 95% of the Texas state population growth, according to the Texas Tribune. The 2020 census puts the state's population at 29,145,505, a 16% jump from 25.1 million in 2010. Hispanic Texans were responsible for half of the increase. Also contributing to that fact was an influx of Californians. More than one of every 10 people moving to Texas during the 2020 pandemic year was from California, according to Dr. Luis Torres with the Texas Real Estate Research Center at Texas A&M University. In 19 of the last 20 years, California ranked as the top move to Texas state. The share of Californians relocating to Texas has increased every year since 2011, Torres said. That trend worries Buck, a self-described pro-life Christian who believes he and others like himself could one day be in the minority. If Texas becomes more blue than red, eventually there could be legislation and laws that could pass that's going to affect our local communities in ways we don't agree with, Buck said. San Angelo resident John Baraboo, who has attended multiple city council meetings in support of the Sanctuary City movement, shares Buck's fears. There's an influx of individuals from other states who demographically are now more liberal-minded, Baraboo said during an interview February 28th with the Standard Times. At this point, it is favorable to fight this fight and get the law in place prior to the change in demographics that could swing the vote the other way, he said. As in previous months, the 64-year-old Baraboo attended Tuesday's public hearing at City Council, hoping to urge council members to pass the ordinance and outlaw abortion in San Angelo. For him, the fight is personal. I am the product of what is called a troubled pregnancy, Baraboo said. My mother was carrying twins. Very early in the pregnancy, she was medically advised to abort us. She chose not to. Had she chose the abortion option, I would not be here. Baraboo was joined by dozens of other supporters Tuesday who have taken a grassroots approach to ending abortion. Roughly 40 minutes after Baraboo spoke at the podium, it was Buck's turn. Vote for what you think is best for San Angelo, Buck told City Council. If you've got problems with it, don't vote for it. As it turned out, council members had several issues with the ordinance and shared their concerns throughout the course of the public hearing. Portions of anti-abortion ordinance remind one council member of KGB. I have problems with this ordinance, Miller said, addressing Dixon directly at the podium. A retired military veteran, Miller compared portions of the ordinance to the secret intelligence agency of the former Soviet Union. There's essentially a bounty for people who identify folks as having a criminal abortion of $10,000 at the state level. I personally don't like that, Miller said. That reminds me of KGB, quite frankly. Dixon reminded Miller such penalties were meant for people who assist in abortions, not the pregnant women themselves, and that the Texas Heartbeat Act already permitted it. The Sanctuary City ordinance before you is in line with the most recently passed laws in the state of Texas, Dixon said, adding council members had earlier passed a proclamation stating they supported legislation protecting unborn human life. Miller then appeared to criticize the ordinance for not going far enough, suggesting it was inconsistent by allowing women access to Plan B and other forms of emergency contraception. In perhaps his sharpest rebuke yet, he told Dixon, I believe that life begins at the moment of conception and that any steps you take to possibly abort that is criminal. What you're suggesting in this ordinance is fine and dandy to do that, and I think that is incredibly incorrect, heinous, unethical, and immoral. Other concerns officials raised included the enforcement of the ordinance outside of city limits. This particular version of the ordinance takes all ability of city officials to enforce this ordinance away, said Teresa James, city attorney. As far as jurisdiction, I know of absolutely no authority that would allow us to prosecute something that happened in New Mexico. Not just current, but former city officials have voiced concerns as well. Former San Angelo Mayor Pro Tem, this ordinance isn't about protecting life. I do not see this ordinance as being about protecting life, said John Mark Hogg, who served on the San Angelo City Council himself as both a single member district member and as mayor pro tem. Board certified in labor and employment law, Hogg has been in practice since 1992, representing governmental entities, defending civil rights and other constitutional law cases, and said the city would have to show compelling governmental interest before infringing on the constitutional rights of women. Hogg questioned the legality of the proposed ordinance, calling sections of it problematic and prohibiting abortion through a court system he said was already overburdened. The vision of this ordinance is not one of outlawing abortion in the city limits. No one has been able to get an abortion in San Angelo in decades, Hogg said. It encourages citizens to report on each other, to bring lawsuits against each other, and make the lives of people in difficult, horrible, and stressful situations even more difficult, he said. San Angelo City Council members issue statements prior to voting. After nearly 2 hours of public discussion, council member Tommy Hebert, SMD1, made a motion to deny the ordinance. I have long said that this is an issue that needs to go to the voters, Hebert said. We can see from the conversation this morning that it's complex. It's got many layers to it. Hebert said as many residents had called him requesting for the opportunity to vote on the issue as had not. His motion was seconded by Councilwoman Lucy Gonzalez, SMD4. Several council members made their public statements prior to voting. I've said this since the beginning. I'm pro-life, always have been, always will be, said Councilmember Harry Thomas, SMD3. The bottom line is we've got 50 people in the room today, and 50 people should not make the decision of 100,000 people in San Angelo. Miller, who delivered some of the sharpest criticism Tuesday, said the ordinance had significant flaws and that he could not accept it as it was currently written. Do I believe there is a reason for this ordinance? Yes, in an amended form, Miller said, adding portions of the ordinance made no sense to him and were potentially extra legal. Following Miller was Councilwoman Karen Hesse-Smith, SMD5, who in a bombshell moment made a personal confession prior to voting. I am a survivor of a violent sexual assault, Smith said with no further elaboration. I am also the parent of an adopted child. I am also pro-life and I'm going to vote in accordance with the other council members, she said. I want it to go to the public and I think there are good reasons for that. Smith, like Miller, suggested careful amendments should be considered before the ordinance went before the voters. Gonzalez thanked the Sanctuary City Initiating Committee for its hard work and effort, but sided with her colleagues. We do have a room full of people, but there's a lot of people out there that should have their chance to express their opinion, and the way that they do that is by going out and voting, Gonzalez said. Her views were echoed by Gunter. I am too pro-life and strongly believe that abortion is something that should not be allowed, but I'm also a big proponent of allowing the public to choose and to vote, Gunter said. We're a very conservative city, and I believe that citizens will do the right thing, but I do believe it needs to go before the citizens. City Council voted to reject the proposed ordinance 6-1, with Miller voting nay in hopes of making amendments to the document. What happens now? Committee demands the San Angelo ordinance be placed on ballot. After it was rejected by City Council, Julia Antilli with the City Clerk's Office said members of the Sanctuary City Initiating Committee could request the ordinance appear before San Angelo voters in the next election. To do that, they would need to submit an official letter. Buck handed Antilli the letter before she was done speaking. In light of the City of San Angelo City Council's decision to not adopt the ordinance for the Sanctuary City for the Unborn, we, the undersigned committee, do hereby demand that the ordinance be placed on the November ballot of 2022, Antilli read aloud to officials. Based on that letter, Antilli said no requests for amendments were made by the initiating committee, and so the proposed ordinance to outlaw abortion would appear to voters as it was presented to City Council. Miller voiced concern the ordinance as written wasn't the best possible product to put before the voters. Should they wish, members of the initiating committee have up to 20 days from March 1st to withdraw their letter and make any changes, according to city officials. It's really in their hands at this point, Antilli said. How likely is the abortion ordinance going to pass in San Angelo? The election that could make San Angelo a sanctuary city for the unborn is tentatively scheduled on November 8, 2022. Recent elections in Tom Green County do not paint a favorable outcome for abortion advocates. Out of 43 cities that passed similar ordinances, only one, Lubbock, put the measure to a vote. The ordinance passed last year by more than 62% in favor of outlawing abortion, according to the Texas Tribune. During Tuesday's March Republican primary, registered voters were asked their opinion on 10 items. Proposition 5 read, should Texas enact a state constitutional amendment to defend the sanctity of innocent human life created in the image of God from fertilization until natural death? Out of the 11,150 Republican voters in Tom Green County who cast ballots, an overwhelming majority, 9,385 people, 84%, agreed. Tickets for the 2022 San Angelo Rodeo go on sale March 7th by Rosanna Frere, published March 4th. Tickets for the 90th annual San Angelo Rodeo in April will go on sale at 10 a.m. Monday, March 7th. Tickets can be purchased online at sanangelorodeo.com or in person at the Coliseum box office at 50 East 43rd Street. Ticket prices vary depending on each performance, ranging from $10.50 to $20.50 for regular PRCA performances. Tickets are $25.50 for the finals April 15th and $30.50 for the Cinch Shootout All-Star event April 16th. The opening performance is April 1st at Foster Communications Coliseum. Slack, which is held due to an overflow of contestants from regular rodeo performances, will be held March 28th through the 30th and is free to the public. The Barrel Racers Slack will be held March 28th at the Spur Arena, while Slack for steer wrestling, tie-down roping, and team roping will be held March 29th and 30th at Foster Communications Coliseum. The San Angelo Rodeo was traditionally held in February before being rescheduled to April last year due to COVID-19. The stock show, however, has remained in February. The premium sale will be held. And now here's the column from Allison Watkins. Those early spring tasks will help your West Texas landscape flourish. Published March 4th. Spring is on the way, and it's a busy time getting the landscape and garden spruced up for the growing season. The weather is always erratic, but seems to be even more so this year, so we can't predict the last frost of the season. But there are plenty of early spring tasks that can be done now, even with additional freezing temperatures probable before warm weather sticks for good. Don't fertilize your lawn too soon. The grass won't be able to use it until it starts new growth. Wait until you've had to mow twice before fertilizing turf grass. And for shrubs, wait until you see new growth. Apply pre-emergent to well-established lawns and replenish mulch to a depth of 4 inches in beds to reduce weeds in the landscape. Keep an eye on pecan trees and apply a foliar zinc spray to the leaves as soon as they start to leaf out. Zinc helps leaves expand and grow larger, helping the trees produce a better crop of pecans. Be careful not to get any overspray on other plants, as the zinc can be damaging to some. If any spring flowering trees or shrubs need to be pruned, like Texas Mountain Laurel or Redbud, prune as soon as they finish blooming. If evergreen shrubs like hollies and Indian hawthorn need trimming, get it done soon before they put on new growth. It can be stressful for a plant to expend a lot of effort putting on new spring growth, only to have it quickly pruned off. to spruce up curb appeal, plant cool season color like Dynanus, Swiss chard, alyssum, and stock. Vegetables that can be planted now are cold-tolerant leafy greens and root crops like lettuce, carrots, and spinach. Some landscapes are still in need of replacement shrubs after the damage from the 2021 winter storm. Purchase them early in the season to get good quality plants and to have a better chance at getting what you need. Inventory has been spotty for some common landscape plants because of high demand. If you would like to reduce or prevent the sticky honeydew that drops from landscape trees like pecans and oaks through the summer, apply systemic imidacloprid this spring. Aphids are the cause of the stickiness and are fairly easy to control if treated early. Join us Wednesday, March 23rd for a home landscaping seminar focusing on lawn care, tree and shrub planting and care, and landscape plant selection. Visit https://tomgreen.agrilife.org for details and to sign up. Or call 325-659-6522. Also, don't miss the annual Concho Valley Master Gardeners Plant Sale, Saturday, April 2nd at 8 a.m. Keep an eye on https://txmg.org/Concho Valley for announcements and updates. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.